week on the Koshcast, Vieira turns to Pirlo and Jovinko becomes peerless as Toronto FC smash 4 past New York City FC. Euro 2017 reaches the semi-final stage as England join Canada in having a women's team that is much more successful than the men, and we team up with a special guest to preview the English Premier League season for last year's top 7 and answer all the important questions. Does Matic allow United to park a double-decker bus? How will Liverpool cope without Alex Manninger? And why does it look like Sami Nasri might actually play for Manchester City this year? All this, Moom of the Week, and more. Buckle up. Hello and welcome to another episode of the Koshcast on underthekoshblog.com and at under_thekosh on Twitter. My name is Alex. Mohamed is here.
Hey everyone.
Bernie is here.
Yep.
And today we are joined by Daniel Rouse, who works for The Score in Toronto. Daniel, how are you doing?
I'm very good. All the better for having a beer put in front of me when I sat down.
This is the etiquette, you know. You've got to follow it.
I thought that was bribery.
Well, yeah. That too. We learn from the best. You know, FIFA. Yeah,
that's why I'm here. Yeah.
So for anyone who doesn't or isn't from Toronto, may not know what The Score is, can you just tell us about The Score?
It's mainly app-based, lots of alerts. I mean, if you get ESPN FC alerts, we're a little bit better. we're just a bit quicker. Lots and lots of features, all the news. Yeah, just get it. The Score app is probably, I am a little bit biased, but I think it is the best one.
It is very good. And you write and you edit and you...
I try and bang out one feature a day. I try and write about obscure football as much as possible, as my editor will allow me. So I think I've got a piece about Northwich Victoria versus 1874 Northwich coming up and stuff like that. So yeah. But mostly, your big stuff, the biggest stories around Europe.
Nice.
Can I just say that The Score for me and me and Mo, I think there's a little bit of nostalgia there, because when we first came to Canada, that was it as far as football coverage.
10 years ago,
it was The Score, and I remember they didn't have Premier League, but they had Serie A.
Yes.
And that was amazing.
Well, I mean, you would take anything you could get 10 years ago.
Yeah.
And The Score definitely, yeah.
It is a bit nostalgic. Was Sharman was on it?
Yeah.
Sharman, Dunlop, and all that lot. Yeah.
And Richard Whittle. Before he got, anyway. No, I actually told Dan the story once, but I applied for a job like editing highlight packages at The Score. And so you go in and they make you do this test. And I think, Dan, you actually applied for the same job at the time, right? This was like 2011 or something. And they make you fill out this quiz about all the different sports that you'll have to put the highlights together for. So you got like basketball, baseball, anyway. So all I did was the football page. I didn't know any of the other answers. And the guy was like, apply again when there's just like a soccer specific position. You know, never happened.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Speaking of soccer specific, let's get right into it.
Oh, what a segue. Toronto FC 4, New York City FC 0. This is becoming a bit of a habit.
I'm very upset because I wanted to get tickets for this game. It was a bit late when I realized that I wanted to see it for whatever reason.
I just
thought, you know what, this is going to be a good game. I didn't realize it's going to be this good.
Right.
So I was quite upset, but, you know, still 3 points in the bag.
Jovinko with an absolute masterclass of a performance. Wow.
He loves the New York teams.
Yeah.
He absolutely loves the New York
teams. Last season away, I think, was incredible as well.
Away to Red Bulls and home. I mean, New York City FC got battered by Toronto FC towards the end of last season.
5-0.
In the playoffs. I mean, right. Yeah, Jovinko hat-trick, yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. And this time, I mean, okay, so... Apparently, New York City FC had a couple of injuries and a suspension or whatever, which is why Pirlo started. And
do you think he would ever say that? That sentence you just said is something you never thought you would say.
It's true.
But I mean, he did. The highlight of Pirlo this game was when he shied out of blocking Jovinko's free kick. You could see the picture where, you know, he just kind of stands there. Everybody jumps and Pirlo's just like, he's not interested in being in that wall whatsoever.
He's not interested in New York City FC. Period.
No. Even Jovinko's left-footed curler into the far post, it was really Pirlo that did absolutely nothing to try and block his shot whatsoever.
I mean, and the question is, like, is he physically capable of doing anything?
No.
And if not, then he just shouldn't be there. But it's quite funny to watch.
It's a touch of the Torsten Frings now, isn't it? You know, when he was playing at TFC, he was just kind of like a frustrated dog on a short chain. he just didn't have the legs to kind of catch up with stuff. And unfortunately, you know, Pirlo, what an absolutely fantastic player in his day. But he's lost it. And quite frankly, he can't be bothered.
It's true.
Yeah, I think the can't be bothered part is just like the ads, where he can't be bothered in those ads that he did.
Yeah,
it's the same thing on the field now.
But then, like, this summer, we saw the, like, classic sixes and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And, like... people in that competition are in better condition.
Right.
I think that's probably where he should
I think there was a segment about Manchester City having something in the community for like retired people to play, and they looked in better shape. Anyway, so Giovinco did score two goals, one really nice left foot curler, the other a brilliant free kick. Another crazy highlight was Raheem Edwards getting his first goal for TFC.
What an assist from Giovinco, though. Don't want to take anything away from Raheem Edwards, but that was a beautiful pass
from
Giovinco.
He came back with his left foot. But for Edwards, I mean, we've, since the beginning of the season, we've just been so excited about this kid. And he's, you know, he needed a bit of a confidence booster after being dropped from the US side in the...
Canada side?
The Canada side.
In the Gold Cup.
Recently in the Gold Cup. And, you know, really good finish.
Yep. Very composed. Didn't rush it at all. Yeah. And yeah, like you said, great job. I'm more concerned about... Giovinco could have had a hat-trick in this game. Because
the penalty,
I guess Altidore is designated penalty
They actually, if you watch the highlight, you can see them having a conversation about it. And Giovinco gives it to him.
And in the celebration, Altidore points at Giovinco
in one of those,
gave it to me.
I don't think anybody should watch the celebration. And my favourite part of that penalty was when Raheem Edwards goes running forward to do like a relief, you know, kind of bang it into the net himself. And he completely scuffed it. Like, you just watch the replay again. You can catch him do it. Completely scuffs it open net. So fair play to him for scoring.
That's amazing. I've got to find that.
Another point about Edwards is also he started the game on the right, end the game on the left. So for such a young guy to be, well, one, he's versatile, two, he's trusted by the manager to play different positions. It shows that, you know, they really do have trust in him. He has that maturity to be able to do it. And it's quite exciting to see, you know, how far he can go.
Yeah.
After the game, Vanny said something that a lot of people, it kind of caused a stir. And there's some articles that have been coming out about this where he said Giovinco is the best player at MLS ever.
He came out
and he said it, the league has ever seen. And so, I thought about it,
so
and there were a couple articles.
Like the Irish are up in arms about this.
Roy Keane.
Are going to dedicate a whole podcast to this. But
it might be a bit of bias,
but if you look at the stats, it's a factual statement. It really is a factual statement.
It's not crazy. Like, it's a conversation you can have, whether it's true or not, needs a bit more digging. But like, it's not crazy.
Yeah. Yeah. Consistency. I don't. He's gonna win MVP.
He broke a lot of records last season. He will win MVP this season. I mean,
I guess
most likely.
He is also the all-time record direct free kick goal scorer, that's a thing.
In a league that Beckham was in.
True.
I like that.
True.
I think that's pretty much it. Except the table. TFC are 5 points clear.
Yeah.
Chicago in second with a game in hand.
The fun thing really is that Toronto's next game is DC.
Mm-hmm.
And they're bottom of the table. They've lost 14 games this season and a goal difference of minus 24. So,
get your ticket.
I'm not missing this one, for sure.
Exactly.
Let's move on to the Euro 2017. I love in the intro how you, Alex, you said Euro 2017 is in the semis, but you only mentioned that it was the women's competition quite far into that. And it would be funny for people to go, wait, what? Am I missing something? This has been going on now for a few weeks. England have been doing really well.
Incredibly well.
Incredibly well. Four wins out of four, three in the group stage, one in the quarterfinals, now in the semis. England have been doing quite well on everything that is not the men's, you know.
Yeah.
Because recently they've done well under, I think, 21s and 17s and...
Mm-hmm.
They've done really well in those.
I got it down here. Under 17 Euro finalists, two on tournament winners, under 19 Euro winners, under 20 World Cup winners, under 21 Euro semi finalists. That's unprecedented.
So I knew something was going on.
Yeah.
I just don't have the details.
Everything else in England football, except for the first team, is great.
Yeah.
But, you know, on to the women, they have been doing well. I took notice of this when they absolutely lashed Scotland in the first game.
6-0.
I think it was 6-0. I was like, really? This is horrible.
Also, I think they beat France in the quarterfinals for the first time in a very long time.
Yeah. By the way, that's an achievement because the French teams, I think Lyon and PSG for the women, are the ones that win the Champions League all the time.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And France is a very good women's team as well.
No, over the last year, like, England have had these teams that they'd never beaten before, like USA and Germany and France, and now they've beaten all of them. And they got to the semi-finals of the World Cup, and now they're in the semi-finals of the Euro. So they're a very impressive team. They will be playing the host, Netherlands, in the semi-final, and the other semi-final is Denmark against Austria.
Wow. And that's because Germany got kicked out, and they were probably, with France, the favourites for the tournament. So it's a big opportunity.
So are England now favourites?
It's England, though, isn't it? I know.
I was going to say, does that apply in this context? But then again, it is the Netherlands, so they're another team that fluffed their lines if we go historically.
Yeah, sure, on the men's side at least. Yeah. I mean, they will most likely lose a semi-final, if not the final. That's what Netherlands do.
I think if we take, if we're going to draw this parallel between men's and women's and see how historically it goes, the last team in these four to win anything was Denmark. It was Euro 92.
Mm. Yeah. Wow.
So it bodes well for them.
Yeah.
Sure.
They also have somehow make that connection.
We were doing it all the time, so I said, let's might as well go for the last one.
They also have statistically the happiest population in Europe.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
The Dutch.
No. The Danish. But the best thing about that is that they also report the highest consumption of antidepressants.
I was just gonna say that stat always has the highest suicide. Like, you're the happiest, but also have the highest suicide rate. Like, it's insane. And suicide comes from too much happiness, not enough problems.
So
it's
the happiness crazy is artificial.
It's like a lot of people are happy, but then a lot are just like unhappy that they're too happy. It's weird.
So before we take a very dark turn, let's just hope that this is a happy occasion for one of these countries.
Yeah, I mean, it will be. Surely someone's gonna win. All right.
You wanna take bets before we move on?
Sure. I'm gonna go England, which, you know, never fails anybody.
I'm going Denmark just because of my previous statement.
I'll go for the Netherlands.
Okay, and
Alex is going Austria.
All right, let's move on to something where I think it'll be much harder to take bets on, the Premier League next season.
I can bet that Arsenal won't do very well.
I meant the champions, but I mean, that's an easy
relative
bet.
Relative to what?
Yeah, relative to what?
Doesn't matter. before we start, everyone knows who we support. If they don't, Mohamed and I are Arsenal fans. Bernie's a Manchester United fan. Dan, you are a City fan.
Yes.
Manchester City. There's a lot of them.
And how long have you been a City fan, just so we can get that bit out of the way?
Yeah. Since I was a little kid. I think my first game was the season we got relegated into the third tier.
There you go.
So, yeah.
At least you're a proper fan. That's what I love to hear. That's good. We got relegated, and I'm following
you. Can I just say, it's both good and bad that you're probably the only proper City fan that I've met.
Oh, there's a bunch of plastics now. Yeah, it's not good. It's not good. There's a few and far between, but yeah, I've actually got a Sean Gota tattoo. So
that's amazing.
Really?
Yeah.
Really.
Quickly, if you could really just quickly sum up that feeling of, during that transition when City just went into that next level, when it kind of happened, the whole Rubinho, and then now, like, did it feel surreal? Are you kind of like, okay, this is what it is now, or is it still a bit weird?
Very, very surreal. And I also thought that, you know, me, family and friends or whatever, we thought we paid our dues because we've seen such rubbish. Like, I remember us losing 2-1 at home to Oldham in the third tier and stuff like that. It was absolutely abysmal. So I thought we deserved it. But, you know, I don't know whether it's a kid thing or something like that, but I actually really enjoyed it when we were crap.
Mm.
It's weird because, like, the Derby Day wins I meant more, whereas now, because United are rubbish, you just expect to spank them every time, really. So.
Except that doesn't happen, but okay.
Hey.
I actually had an interesting question about that. There seems to be an underlying thing with City fans where some of them are like, well, we don't actually like all this money that we're spending. Kind of, it was more fun. Is that a big deal among City fans? That, you know, you buy Mendy for 52 million and whoever else, and you go...
Is it fun?
That's kind of the real question.
I find it fun because it is wonderful to see us, like, win and compete with, you know, putting good games. You know, we beat Barcelona last season. I never thought I'd see that in my lifetime. But I do think there's a divide, and I think the thing that's going to maybe put that divide back together is producing these young kids coming into the first team, because it's been a bit of a disconnect with the...
What young kids?
Brittany is going to disagree with that.
I haven't seen one. But there's a bit of impatience with this, because it opened like late 2014, so the kids at the start of that cycle were 8 years old. So what are they, 11 now?
Aren't they good enough?
It is a bit true. Like, the minute the red tape was cut, it's like, where are they? Why are they not playing for Pep?
The one that said they weren't good enough. So that's
true.
Anyway,
true.
I have loads of questions that we're going to ask later on.
We're going to try and not make this a United versus City. But as much as we can.
Like, why don't they fill the stadium for Champions League games? But anyway, we'll move on.
There's a reason I did this alphabetically.
Yes. Okay. So as Alex said, we will do this alphabetically. We're going to go through the top 6-7 teams, see what they've done in the transfer window. The season starts really in, 11 days or so?
Mohamed just checked his watch.
Well, it says the day, the 31st.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Quick calculations.
So, So let's start. We'll start with the top with Arsenal. That's top alphabetically, obviously not at the end of the season.
We even lost that spot to Bournemouth, no?
That's true, AFC Bournemouth. But we're not covering them, unfortunately. That's another time. So Lacazette and Kolasinac in. Kolasinac on a free at left back / left wing back. Big fridge dude. Looks okay in preseason.
Supposed to be the best left back in the German Bundesliga. Yeah. So that's to me
sounds
like a good sign.
You know who got the best left back deal is AC Milan when they signed
Ricardo Rodriguez.
I thought he was fantastic. He's killing it for them in preseason. Anyways, Kolasinac was the free option.
Mm-hmm.
He has like half a knee. So that's going to come back to bite us for sure with our injury record.
But I'm just saying, you guys don't seem too excited. For me, when someone is put in the team of the season, the official like team of the season for a league, you've pretty much done the best that you can do, no?
Right. I think the issue with Arsenal is that it's never been players on paper.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you look at our teams in the past, the 08 team, all these teams that we had on paper, it's unfortunately never comes down to that. It comes down to tactics, Arsene Wenger, etc.,
mm-hmm.
blah, blah, blah. Anyways,
mm-hmm.
Thoughts on Lacazette? I mean...
Well, he's better than Giroud.
If that was a standard, I mean, Bernie could probably play up top.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I appreciate that. me when I was 15. That's what I'm going to talk about. But on that, I agree he's better than Giroud. My question is...
He's different.
In France, he doesn't get into the team. Giroud gets into the team, and Giroud's goal record is very, very good. So again, is it system? Is it player?
I think that's a stylistic thing more than anything. I would say that like France often play a 4-4-2, and they have better strikers of Lacazette's type in Griezmann and Mbappe and etc.
Mm-hmm.
So Giroud is the opposite.
Mm-hmm.
It's like it's either him or Gignac, basically, is the kind of target man.
Mm-hmm.
Gignac's off in the wilderness, so it's Giroud.
Mm-hmm.
And he does well for France, but I don't think it means he's better than Lacazette. It's just a different style of play.
Yeah, it's just, I don't know. Lacazette is not the main signing that gets me excited. That like I can't wait for the season to start. It'll be like, yeah, okay, he'll, you know.
There are only so many of those in the world. So I think you should be excited.
Sure. We'll see how it goes.
Are you saying you're completely not excited for the new season?
No. No. Like, actually, I'm excited for the season. Just not for Arsenal. Like, I'm excited for football. Like,
yeah.
I can't wait to watch, you know, Chelsea, United, City, whatever, Spurs. Like, I'm actually excited for those games a bit more than Arsenal, which is a shame because last season took a lot out of us. Like, Arsenal fans, a lot.
Mm-hmm.
So, anyways, Szczesny's out.
Which is mental.
Yeah, which is mental.
It is mental. So, Czech ended last season well, we've said this.
Mm.
But before that, he was rubbish for Arsenal. Like, he really hasn't been very good. And then behind him, Ospina is decent. He's just short. So there's a literal physical limitation on how good he can be. Emi Martinez, whatever. If Juventus, who very rarely make bad signings, think that Szczesny is good enough to either be backup or to replace Buffon...
Well, he's clearly Buffon's heir. I mean, what do you think? They're going to sell Buffon and sign someone else? I think Szczesny is there to play Buffon's position in a year or two.
I disagree with that. I think Szczesny is there to literally be the backup because Buffon will never retire. I don't think he's going to.
I'm a little cynical. I think I wouldn't be surprised if Juventus left it a year and signed another keeper.
Right.
Because they don't care about Wojciech Szczesny. Right. They needed someone.
They can't spell his name right. So they definitely don't.
That's
care.
True.
Yeah.
But that's also fair enough. I just think he's as good, if not better, than a lot of the options that Arsenal have.
Okay, so that's the new signings. Some people, I mean, there's a lot of quote-unquote deadwood that we want to get rid of. Debushi, Chambers, Jenkinson, and all that. Bad decisions from the past. But the two big kind of clouds that are hovering over the Emirates right now are Ozil and Sanchez not signing new deals. Ox a little bit as well. But really, it's those two. Ozil is probably more likely to sign at this point. Sanchez is still in the air. Is he going to sign now? Are we going to do that Arsenal thing where we wait in January and then he just goes away? Like, City is a club that apparently are really rumored to want to get him, except they have like a gazillion players already. I don't know. Those two are very important, I think, to keep if Arsenal... If you don't want to start the whole, we're building another team again, you know, again, fourth team in 6 years or something. It's boring at this point.
Dan, do you think City do want Sanchez?
Yeah. I've been confident that City are actually going to sign him off summer, and I'm not normally this confident, but it's my understanding that he wants to move. Obviously,
yep.
It's difficult to move to another English club because I think Arsenal will dig their heels because they've been stung so many times from this. But I do think he wants to move to City.
If they don't sell him now, he'll go for a free next season. Like, it's...
Yeah, and then, you know, they look foolish then.
I mean, to me, the money doesn't really matter, right? The Arsenal don't need the 40, 50 million. That's kind of irrelevant. But the thing is, he'll sign for someone in January or February. And then you've got him in this weird position where he's playing for Arsenal, but does he really care? And he's off in a few months.
Well, the shame is that the fact that Arsenal are in this position.
I mean, this
happens all the time with contracts. Ozil, Sancho. There's $125 million worth. Yeah, I mean, sure, if you want to go back in the past, we're going to be here forever. But they never lock down these players soon enough. So it's crazy.
So would you... Because it seems to me... I guess the question is, some people are saying, you know what, dig your heels in, pull a Jurgen Klopp with, I think it was Lewandowski or something, and just say, you know what, you're not going anywhere. I don't care if you go for free.
Sure.
Or cash in. Like Alex says, the money, you would probably get $50 million, which sounds crazy.
Okay,
considering what everyone else is paying for players, is that worth it at that point?
Last point before we move on this whole, like, well, get the money or don't get the money. I feel like, yes, don't get the money and keep him if you honestly think keeping him will win you a trophy. Like, as in the league or the Champions League.
Mm-hmm.
Then you keep him. Fine. We're so close to winning the league. Keep Sanchez, win it next season, then sell him. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
But that's not the case.
I don't think it's that. I think
you might as well just...
I think Arsene Wenger's thinking, I've got to keep him to make sure I get back into the top four.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying.
Is his attitude going to be right, though? Because, you know, he's apparently calling in sick already, trying to force a move.
The picture?
Yes.
Oh, it's an unbelievable shit.
Cutting his dog. Yeah.
Look, I've got a scarf on.
All right. Let's move on from Arsenal, unless anyone has any last thoughts.
I've got an Arsene Wenger quote.
Go ahead.
So he was asked about the Ozil situation, because people have kind of been asking about Sanchez a lot, but not less about Ozil. And he said, "It's not an issue. I think it's an ideal situation. Why? Because everyone has to perform. When you're a football player, you perform until the last day of your contract. Whether you have 2 or 1 year left, it doesn't change. You want to play and do well. Do you really think they sit in the dressing room and think, oh, I have 1 year to go, I will not play well today? When you're a football player, you want to play well. What does that have to do with the length of your contract? It's amazing."
I think this quote is amazing.
Me too.
I think you should see the video of him giving the quote.
Yeah.
Because he didn't expect the words, "I think it's an ideal situation," to come out of his mouth. You actually see his eyes shift. He's like, he himself's thinking, wow, I can't take any more of my bullshit.
He does that a lot,
like,
though.
He's like, oh, now I'm just going to dig myself into this hole. And it just got worse and worse. Like, anyways. Okay. So what, you guys want to predict, like, finishes? Top four, not top four?
Not top four.
Not top four?
No.
Sure, fifth, why not?
Why not? Yeah, okay.
I mean, they're going to be better than Liverpool. And that's the top six to me right
now. Why will they be better than Liverpool?
I just think Arsenal are
going to
be
better. Faith in Liverpool.
I don't have it. I think this is not going to repeat itself. Like, they were going to finish fifth, but not the horrendousness of it. Because they lost like 10 games last season. I don't think it would be that horrendous.
Liverpool,
I don't think have improved themselves. And we'll get to them, but they will lose Coutinho. And they're going to bring in Pulisic, maybe. Anyway, that's
all right. Okay, we'll get to Liverpool. That's next on the alphabetical ladder. Chelsea. So, Chelsea, a lot of talk about, did they have a good transfer season so far, or is it a bad transfer season? They made a lot of signings.
Mm-hmm.
So, Rudiger, Bakayoko, Morata, Caballero.
Caballero.
Yeah,
the biggest of the lot.
Sure. But they did
lose... competition.
They did lose Matic, Costa, Zuma. Well, Zuma alone. So, you know, I think Conte at the beginning of the transfer window was really frustrated for not getting the transfer that he wanted. He was quite upset.
Question, Costa...
He's not left yet, but we're assuming.
I mean, it's happening, but we don't know what that actual situation is.
Well, we're assuming it's... Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Sorry, that was my partner's phone going off. She's now absolutely mortified.
she's very red right now.
It's okay. So, yeah, I mean, the funny thing that struck me about their transfer window is that last year they were very successful because they only had to play one game a week, or it was at least... a big factor,
mm-hmm.
right? This season they've got Champions League, which Conte doesn't have a good record in from Juventus. You would think that they would need more depth to handle it. And for every player that they've brought in, someone in that position has gone out.
Mm-hmm.
And they've also sold more on top of that in like Shalaba, Loftus-Cheek, Begovic, Ake. So the squad is actually smaller than it was before. I mean, Dan, I don't know, do you think that they need to just buy some volume at this point?
I think they need another midfielder.
Yeah.
I mean, I think all their main signings are gambles. I think Rudiger's like a low risk, Morata medium risk. I think Bakayoko's a high risk. I think they bought the wrong one. I think it should have been Fabinho. I think, you know, when you got Kante, I mean, he's not known for his positional sense. He's known for buzzing around and making up for people's inadequacies.
He doesn't need a positional sense.
Yeah. So, but Bakayoko's, you know, he's a bit crackers. You know, Fabinho was a calming influence by him. So I think they bought the wrong one there. That's a concern for me. I think they do need to buy a midfielder.
Well, they did. They were, just on that point before you continue, they did get linked today with apparently Drinkwater. Just as a backup to have, you know, like Alex saying, Danny Drinkwater just on the bench for depth. I mean, might not be the worst decision in the world. He's played with Kante in that Leicester winning
and
team.
And linked with Renato Sanchez as well, but he seems, you know, AC Milan will get more minutes there. So
yeah,
that would make sense to me. Now, I think, yeah, central midfielder, and they seem to be pushing for Alexandro. I don't know, you know, because Marcus Alonso was so good last season, wasn't he? He was fantastic. Yeah. I mean, Moses is at a weak point there, and I think because Rudiger's signed, I think Azpilicueta will be playing wing back a lot.
I think Alex was wondering where Rudiger would play. I think he's basically replacing Moses. I think Azpilicueta will probably go. I mean, see, this is the thing. When you say, well, Moses is going to get dropped, but he was fantastic last season, blah, blah, blah. I think this is where the difference, where Conte as a manager probably maybe differentiates himself. Like, as an Arsenal fan, I really wish Arsene Wenger was a bit like that. It's like, you have one good season, doesn't mean you are the solution.
Sure.
Yeah. Yes, you've had a great season. Mm-hmm. Thank you for filling in, but you're not the guy, and now you're sitting on the bench next season.
It would be a bit harsh for Moses after his, like, itinerant career.
That is your job as a manager to go, I think you just did a job, but you're not really a long-term solution. Sorry. Now, Azpilicueta is the more, you know, level-headed tactical player that can get you through the Champions League. But so I like that from Conte if he does do that. Unfortunate for Moses, but
the
good
thing about that is, like, if say it doesn't work, you can always revert back to what did work as long as you keep those pieces and don't chuck them out. But just on the same point of Bakayoko, like you said, he has been known to lose concentration in games, and that's a concern. But the main concern is that he's injured. He's actually not going to be fit for the start of the season. He's going to come back in a few weeks late.
Right.
Now, Chelsea's running, beginning of the season is a little bit difficult, if I remember correctly. Then you're left with, what's his name? Conte and Fabregas. Fabregas was not the player that Conte wanted to start with in the first place. Mm-hmm. So losing Matic and having Bakayoko in there, that's a very suspect area of the pitch for them.
What are you saying about Danny Drinkwater? You don't think he can play those Champions League nights?
Absolutely not.
Wait, he actually played quite well against Sevilla.
He did.
But there you go. Another question I have about Chelsea is whether they have any tactical flexibility. So they obviously started last season famously in the kind of 4-3-3 thing, and then Conte switched it to three at the back. And
well, since Arsenal then, dominated them, obviously. Just saying.
And, but since then, they haven't needed to change it because it's worked so well. But I feel like, at least in the Champions League, they might need a couple of different systems that work here. And it's, I don't know, it's just curious because we haven't seen them do anything else other than this system.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. No, I can see it. I mean, obviously, they started last season with a 4-2-4. I wouldn't be too surprised if they did that against, you know, a couple of lesser teams at the start of the season. Just check that out, see if that's an option. But I don't know, I just feel like his system's set up now. He's got his players, you know, he's built his team around that. He's got two players in every position now. So I think he's going to stick to it. I think putting Azpilicueta to wing back actually sorts out an issue where, you know, I love that player. I think he's absolutely fantastic.
He's amazing.
But where they looked vulnerable a couple of times was he would get out-muscled sometimes at the back stick, and that issue's gone now. So I think he's just built his team around a 3-4-3 again.
Does that take away an attacking threat of Moses as a wing-back? Because Azpilicueta's a bit more, not restricted, but, you know, he's conservative a bit more, right? That might take away a little bit.
A bit more conservative, yeah, but he's still good going forward. I mean, he did right-back and left-back for Chelsea in his first two or three seasons then. I think he won the Players' Player of the Year one of those years. Like, he's a fantastic player, and I don't think they're going to miss too much by swapping him up for Moses.
Okay, so before we move on from Chelsea, can they win the league again?
I don't think they will.
I
think they'll be in the top four. I don't think they'll win the league.
Depends a lot on Morata.
I'm worried about up top. I'm worried about goals in this Chelsea side. Hazard, fantastic player. He doesn't give you a lot of goals, unfortunately. Willian doesn't give you any goals.
Mm-hmm.
So you're left with Pedro.
Two or three free kicks.
Yeah, sure.
I'm actually a big fan of Willian.
I think
he didn't get enough time on the pitch last season. I wouldn't be surprised if a few weeks in we start seeing a lot more of him, because he's actually got a good finish on him. He's got a lot of pace, and I think, you know, Morata, he's never done it consistently, scoring a lot of goals in the big league before. That's a concern. He's a very selfless player.
Well, Morata has 40 goals in his entire career.
Yeah.
And he just went for whatever, 80 million or whatever it was. So that's,
I think he's
got
20 of them last season.
Yeah. So that's a bit, it is a bit of a risk. And what's his name? The
Batshuayi.
Batshuayi in preseason looked good. Mm-hmm. I mean, yeah. Some Chelsea fans online are like, give him a chance, maybe see what he can do. But again, the give him a chance thing doesn't win you a league. Like that's where it's a bit iffy up top. But
yeah.
No, so we'll no, the answer is no. They can't win the league again.
They can.
Do you think they're going to win the league?
No,
I think they're in the reckoning. I think it's between Chelsea and the Manchester clubs. I think there's going to be a divide between two groups of three. I think this year.
Okay. Before moving to Manchester, let's talk Merseyside, Everton and Liverpool. Let's start with Everton,
Everton
alphabetically.
Can't win the league.
Oh, okay. Thanks. Yeah. Because I was going to ask you.
Yeah,
So they've made a gazillion bazillion signings. that's a one with like 36 zeros following that. So any of them any good? Rooney? Who's Rooney? We never heard of him. Young kid coming through.
No.
Yeah. Ah, that one.
Yeah. Remember the name.
future England captain.
Yes. Yeah. I'm really actually quite excited to see how Rooney does. I'm actually excited to watch him play, and I actually hope he does really well.
I'm not excited in the slightest. and that's not because I dislike the bloke. I just think it's going to be so slow and dull to watch. Their attack's really, really sluggish, and I'm concerned about it. Like, in Europe the other day, it was evident, and, Balassi's not going to add pace into the new year. So I just don't think it's going to look very sharp. I think, the signings of Sandro, that's a bargain. And I know Pickford and Keane were expensive, but that's their two signings for 10 years. I think they're great signings, but I think Rooney as an option is just expensive wages, and between him and Sandro, I can't see them scoring the 25 goals that Lukaku did last season.
That's the thing, is like some of the other signings they've made are decent. Mm-hmm. They're fine, although Cuca Martino is rubbish, but whatever. But I don't think they're signings that make Everton much better. And the fact is, replacing Lukaku with Rooney and Sandro,
what, you don't think
it's
don't,
just not
like, you don't think Valencia's gonna step up?
He's in Mexico now.
Yeah. No way. Yeah.
Where he will score 50 goals.
But this is when you stay. I mean, Lukaku's gone now. It just made sense.
I don't think it was up to him.
Yeah. It's a strange thing, because I know in preseason they played one game where Rooney played off the left and then he scored.
He scored two so far, three in preseason.
Well, he scored that one like Howitzer in Tanzania or something. Which,
what? That sounds like actually in Tanzania?
That's a great title for a book.
Okay.
Howitzer in Tanzania. But I believe that's where it was.
Wow, okay.
I mean, it was in Eastern Africa. I know that absolutely for a fact.
Sure, the country of Africa.
Wow. Yeah. Anyway, he's actually done all right in preseason. But I agree, it's probably going to be a sluggish attack. Sandro Ramirez was playing on the right in one game. I was like, who's actually the number 9? There was none. Mm. So Koeman might try to do some, strange false 9 thing. That actually could be a thing. That would be horrendous to see.
Can we also cast judgment on any club that is willing to spend 45 to 50 million on Gylfi Sigurdsson, who is a player I love?
I love. Yeah.
Fantastic player.
Fantastic. But it's the market. But still, someone is spending it.
It's worth half of that.
Yeah.
Just, there must be someone else that you can spend 40 million on.
Ross Barkley will get you at least 80 million. So you have that, the next England hope. Anyways, let's move on. But that's Ross Barkley. Before we move on, he might leave apparently. And we did write an article about where he can go, and it was really hard finding where he could go. We said Southampton, we said West Ham, we said we couldn't really see him break into the top 7 anywhere else.
There's a massive difference between where he could go and where he might want to go.
Yeah, yeah, that's
straight up. Tottenham want him. Like, they want him.
Yeah?
They actually want him badly.
That would be fantastic.
They
just
told him,
drop
your wages.
I would do that, because, that is the highest you will get. Yeah. You will not go higher than Tottenham.
I think he'll go down to deadline day, because I think Everton are holding out for 50.
That's nuts.
Yeah,
that's
he's amazing. Not worth that, but they can wait, because they know he's going to be free next summer. So.
Here's a question. You think Tottenham should sign him over a Sigurdsson?
Well, yes. they're for two different positions. So the rumor is, at least, that Pochettino sees Barkley as someone he can mold into a Dembele player.
Really? With that work ethic?
In terms of someone that can play deep in central midfield and that has the ability to bring the ball forward, hold off challenges.
He does carry the ball very well.
Right.
Yeah.
And so, but Sigurdsson would be like a backup to Eriksson, a number 10.
I have to say, Pochettino's one manager who I pretty much trust everything he does. So if he's going after Barkley, even though it sounds crazy, with him, I trust the process.
Sure, yeah. He only signed 7 other players that are now nowhere to be seen when they did that big marketing thing. But anyways, we'll get to that.
Janssen, yeah. Sorry. Change my mind. Forget it.
How are you not mentioning Moussa Sissoko? That's the main one.
30 million. All right. Yeah, Sigurdsson is looking to bargain at 50. All right. Let's talk about Liverpool. So they started the transfer window really well. They're getting, I think, probably best, if not top three, Serie A player in Mo Salah. He's a very, very good player. He's done really well in preseason, scored like 3-4 goals. Looked like he's really linking up really well with that. You know, Klopp wants, again, that small, buzzing front four that just run around with that Firmino false nine. Sturridge is probably not going to get playing time. That's another one that has to think about whether he's going to stay or not.
Mm-hmm.
Solanke scored a goal recently in preseason. They're going crazy. They, as in the Liverpool fans, are going crazy about how good he may be.
I like him. He looks like a really competent center forward.
He was good for the England under-20s, I think it was, in the summer.
Yeah.
Well. It was very good.
The big cloud now over Liverpool is Coutinho, with the whole Neymar to PSG. Will Coutinho leave? I think that would set them back quite a bit.
They've named him captain.
Oh, is so, that like...
Well, at least in a friendly.
That's what Arsene Wenger does. Yeah. Oh, Galas, Van Persie, Fabregas. Who wants to leave? You get to leave. So what do you guys think? Liverpool can actually... I mean, with Europe. That's the big thing about last season. No Europe. With Europe, I think top four would be a good achievement for Liverpool.
I don't see it. I don't see it. I don't see it mainly because I think they have a good squad. And I think I love Klopp as a manager. To me, when you look at City... Chelsea, I think Tottenham are way ahead of them. United are going to get better. Arsenal, I just have a bit more faith in them. Liverpool had to do more to step up to that level the other guys are stepping up to. So I don't think they make top four because I don't think they're making enough of a leap.
They made it last year.
Especially if they lose Coutinho. I think Salah was actually brought in because they knew Coutinho was going
to
leave.
Oh, no. I think what the plan is to have Firmino with... Mane and Salah either side and drop Coutinho deeper. He did it a little bit towards the end of last season. He absolutely tanked West Ham from that position.
True.
And I really, really want to see that happen from a neutral perspective. Obviously not against City.
Yeah.
And I think that would be so exciting. I think Liverpool will reestablish themselves as the most exciting team to watch in the division.
But they were last season, to be fair.
They were quite close.
But it's defense. Like, we always talk about Liverpool's top four. But then... The two that sit behind Coutinho, who are they going to be? Henderson and...
Well, we're not getting that.
It'll be Ronaldo and Henderson.
And then behind them, it's that back six that is a bit of a worry. Is Milner going to be left back again?
No, they've got Robertson. Well, that's fine.
Sorted. You know what I mean? Like, it's just, the keepers are a bit suspect. It's that back six, seven that are a bit of a worry for Liverpool.
They don't feel the reliability in what they can do consistently.
It's consistency. Right.
They also have to cope without Alex Manninger, who retired.
I mean, that's already a big blow.
It's a sad one, that. Yeah. But no, still, we've got goalkeepers who, you know, flap like a bat in a wardrobe. They're just so exciting to watch. I just can't help but have a little soft spot for them because you're going to sit down, you're going to watch them win 5-3.
But they do really well against City. So
yeah,
usually the games are one of the best games of the fixtures.
Yeah.
The Liverpool City are a really good game. They just attack each other.
Sorry, I just want to point out Dan's notes here. It says, Naby Keita pursuit daft. This was the biggest argument on the pod last week. And thank you for that. That's all I want to say.
No, it's absolutely ridiculous. Like, strengthen what you need to strengthen first. I can't believe they're going on that one. They'll get him for 20 million cheaper at least next season.
Yeah.
Red Bull Leipzig have taken him for a ride. They're doing it for the exposure. They're doing it for the marketability of the team. They've just been taken for a ride.
Okay. So we did already mention if they're going to finish in the top four. Bernie said no. I said maybe just fourth. Any thoughts, guys?
Yes, because Everton won't be there and Arsenal are crap.
Yeah, but there's one more team that needs to drop out. It's top. Because you've got...
Didn't you say Arsenal?
One more team, because there's Spurs. Spurs needs to drop
Everton
out.
If Everton and Arsenal don't make it, then Liverpool are in.
No, that's top seven.
Oh,
Everton
United.
Are seven. Everton are seven. So forget Everton. It's
I forgot about
you.
United.
You need to drop two big teams.
Sorry.
Yeah, forgettable. Even though Bernie is representing in red today.
That wasn't the point.
Any of these?
I think, you know, as I said, I think there's going to be a little bit of a break between the top three and the three after them. And I think it'll be a scrap between Liverpool and Tottenham for fourth place.
Okay, good point. Let's take a little midway break. little maybe winter break, we could call it.
Sure.
Do the quiz?
Yeah, it's too hot for a winter break, but still.
Welcome to the quiz, my favorite segment. We haven't done it in ages. I can't wait. Yep. As always, sponsored by Open Sports, an app that allows you to find pickup sports around the city. It's got all the sports, some, you know, soccer, obviously, but also some crazy stuff, underwater, rugby, blah, blah, blah.
Yep.
It's pretty fun. You can get it on iOS, on all the stuff you download apps on.
Bernie knows about those.
Yeah.
I'm waiting for him to mess it up.
No clue. Anyways, you guys ready? Let's remind people of Buzz and Dan.
That was easy.
Bernie and Alex. Okay, here we go. Question number one. Can you name PSG's five most expensive signings? You don't have to name them all, just name Alex.
David Luiz.
Okay.
That was easy. Di Maria.
Pastore.
Nope.
Woo!
Lucas Moura.
Yes.
Thiago Silva.
Yes. One more.
Marquinhos.
No, the most expensive.
Zlatan.
No.
Zlatan was free.
Zlatan was 20 million.
Edison Cavani.
Yes.
Thank God.
So that's just for everybody. That's Cavani, 64 million euros. All these are in euros. David Luiz at 50. Lucas at 45. Di Maria, 63. Thiago Silva, 43.
Can you convert them into dollars, please?
Yes, I can.
Please don't.
all right. Question number two. Messi and Kane were La Liga and EPL top scorers, respectively, last season. Who were the Bundesliga, Serie A, and Ligue 1?
That was easy.
Alex.
Dzeko Serie A.
Yes.
Pierre-Emerick Aubameyang, Bundesliga.
Yep. And Ligue 1?
I'm dead on that one.
Anybody?
Radamel Falcao.
No.
Wait. Cavani.
Yes.
Oh.
Well done.
Oh. Did we all get one?
Yeah, you all got one. A little.
This is lovely.
Here's a little.
It's like a communist quiz.
Here's a little follow-up. Who out of all five, including Messi and Kane, had the most goals? League goals.
Edison Cavani.
Nope.
Jacob?
Nope.
It's Messi.
Yeah, Messi beat Cavani by one goal. 37 goals for Messi, Cavani 36.
Huh.
Yeah, yeah. All right, last question.
Messi's quite good, no?
Yeah,
he's not bad.
Cavani's quite rubbish.
In the 16-17 season, last season, which EPL team had the most headed goals?
That was easy.
Dan.
I'm going to go for Swansea.
Swansea were third.
Arsenal.
Yes! Arsenal with the most.
I was going to go for West Brom. They don't score any goals.
No, no, no. That's good. Arsenal with 17, West Brom with 16, and Swansea with 15. We got all the top three. And last, Sunderland with one.
This really is a communist outpost.
Well done, folks. All right, back to the Premier League prediction slash blah, 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 whatever you want to call them. Let's go to Manchester.
That's a great intro.
Yeah. I mean, you made fun of my other amazing segues, so we're trying this one.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah. All right. Let's start with City. So, City, if we go through every player, we'll be here till maybe next Monday. So, let's go through the few important ones. Big signings, Bernardo Silva, Walker, Mendy, Ederson, Danilo. Yeah, so, Douglas, like, just a lot of players. Dan, who are you most excited about?
It's just an absolute pleasure to have a fullback who can run.
Three of them.
Like it was, people have made a real big fuss about how much we spent on fullbacks this season, and yeah, it's a lot of money. It is a lot of money, but this is the first time City has spent money on a fullback since 2012.
That was probably your weakest point. I mean, Clichy, Kolarov, Zabaleta, Sanya, none were good enough. None.
Well, Zabaleta was for a bit.
But recently, at least, and not, I mean, he was a bit until City's sights really started becoming Champions League and winning the league every season. Well, Clichy, right?
That's that.
Can you name the player?
Clichy or Sanya?
I'll give you.
Sanya was free.
Was it Kolarov?
No. He's not there now. I'll give you a clue. He likes his dinners. He goes back for seconds.
Okay, so he's quite chubby.
He begins with M.
No,
wing back. What is he? Is he like
fullback?
Is he a good? Like, is he a famous player?
He might come.
Yes.
Oh! Hey, this is not the quiz anymore.
I forgot they had him.
I totally forgot they had him. I mean,
was it just 1 year?
Yeah, I wish I could forget it.
So okay, the fullbacks. I mean, Walker is, I think, very clearly was second option to Alves. We did a whole thing about whether this was a better choice for City or not. We will talk about Alves a bit more. Are we? We're not going to talk about Alves. So let's just quickly mention it. He did just start for PSG in their Super Cup.
Mm-hmm.
He did assist and score a goal. He's a fantastic player. He's
yes.
probably one of the best right backs to ever play the game.
Mm-hmm.
Who would you have preferred then? Walker, as you have now, or Alves for a short, more short term?
I think Walker was coming regardless. I think it's Danilo who was the one who's brought in as a backup for that one. I would have definitely loved to have had Alves there. I mean, it's not only would he been great for 2 years, you know, arguably the best right back for a long time. I just think someone who can go into a changing room and completely change
yeah.
the mentality.
Yeah.
And I think that's why they might make an extra push to bring in Alexis Sanchez, just bring in someone who's a bit stroppy, someone who's got a winning mentality, because City have been a bit soft over the years.
Okay. It's just, you know, you never really know, you never really see City being, you know, out muscled financially. And that's literally what happened.
Well, I think Alves also made a decision. I think it wasn't just finance. I think Alves did mention his wife wanted to, you know, live more in Paris. Then he also said he was selfish when he chose Turin, which is apparently a horrible place to live.
Yeah,
blah, 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 blah.
See, that's
but
an easy excuse to give when literally, and this is not, this is the truth. PSG doubled the offer of Man City.
Preach, Bernie.
So it's very easy to say all of that when that's
sure.
just what happened.
Also, half of the Brazil team plays for PSG, so
yeah.
that probably
yeah.
helped.
So there's that. I mean, Bernardo Silva is... Oh, okay, before we move on, Mendy, we did mention, is a bit 50-50.
Mm-hmm.
We're not sure. I mean, he had one good season. Will we get the same... Will City get the same out of him next season? I don't know.
I'm sold on him. I think the biggest question mark would be Danilo out of three fullbacks who've signed, but he actually looks quite good in pre-season
yeah.
at the moment. But I think Mendy will be absolutely fine.
Do you
okay.
expect to sign another left back? Or is Danilo just going to kind of cover...
Ryan Bertrand was rumoured. I hope we don't. You know, I kind of feel like there's enough cover there. Fernandinho is okay when he covers back there. I just don't think it's necessary. I'd rather strengthen somewhere else.
Are you guys going to play three at the back?
I think sometimes. I think the prominent system will be a 4-1-4-1, which can be very easily interpreted as a 4-3-3.
So who's the one up top, Aguero? Or?
Aguero or Jesus. And Jesus always also plays off the left a bit as well for Brazil very effectively.
Why do I feel like Pep wants to start both? Like, he's done it a lot at the end of last season. He's doing it in preseason. I just feel like both are going to play. I
think they will.
I think he might play a three.
I mean, we know he doesn't want to play Aguero, but Aguero is so useful that he has no choice, and he can't bring in anyone else,
yeah.
really, who's going to take his spot, so he probably will end up playing.
To be fair, he did mold Aguero a bit more into the player he wants towards the end of the season.
Yeah,
we talked about the stats,
yeah.
about the
yeah.
running stats, the sprint stats. They were very low for Aguero before Pep kind of dropped him. And then when he came back, they just shot up. So he's clearly molding him into what he wants a bit
just
more.
On that point, and Dan would probably have more insight into this. You're talking about molding him into the player that can run and do... Basically, molding him into Alexis Sanchez is what it sounds like you're telling me. So if they buy Alexis Sanchez, cash in on Aguero, or...
I think he's sticking around. Like it's very much like you know, David Villa. He added a lot to his game when he was playing for Barcelona. Just like somebody who's just going to come drop back, just thread the lines a little bit and stuff like that. And I think you're right. I think we could see Gabi Jesus and Sergio Aguero up front a lot. I think, you know, we saw it at the end of last season. I think a 3-5-2 wouldn't even be out of question. I mean, City play a very fluid formation anyway. I mean, as I said, it's a 4-1-4-1. But when City got the ball and they're attacking, it turns to three at the back.
Right.
Whoever's in defensive mid drops back and the fullbacks are forward. So it's a very, very fluid formation. So it's going to be very hard to decipher anyway.
It is fluid, and there are so many attacking midfielders. This is my thing with having two up front,
mm-hmm.
is it reduces the amount of midfielders you can
mm-hmm.
use. And there are just so many.
Well, me and
there's
you,
Sané.
We sat the other day, I think it was Friday, we just sat on your couch and literally
just listed them.
Two 11s for City, and they were both phenomenal.
Yeah.
They were both so good.
I mean,
we could not
Sané,
fit anybody.
Sterling, Bernardo Silva, David Silva, Kevin De Bruyne.
Well,
like, it's
are the 11s phenomenal or the top like six?
Phenomenal? No, literally. Oh, okay,
I
fine.
Mean,
the
yeah.
center backs were a bit tough.
The defenders, once you get past the first team, it's
in
4-4-2.
No, 4-4-2 was quite good. You get Mangala, Stones.
That's not good.
Oh, like Mangala's on his way.
That's
fine,
not good.
If Mangala plays the way he can...
That's not good. It's been 2 years of him. He was at Valencia, he played like trash. In City, he played like trash.
I'm not
Let's
sure
just
Valencia
remove
can.
Mangala from
I'm not sure
the
Valencia
equation
can.
Of good.
I think
no
Mangala has the attributes to do well. I'm not sure why he didn't do well. Otamendi's the same one. He's a brilliant defender.
Otamendi has one season of being meh. yeah. whatever. So I'll give you that. But Mangala has is like no.
The thing with not. The thing with City is that Stones, Mangala, Otamendi all had their iffy times, but all on paper are quite good players. I'm just not sure why it didn't click.
To be honest, I think Mangala's atrocious. I think his first touch is terrible. I've seen him get burned so many times. He's positionally inept. He's Pep likes versatility. Played left back the other day in the preseason. He looked completely at a loss. He kept on the same line as the centre backs. He just like didn't know that he was able to advance more. I think he's just a little bit dim. I think the centre backs for next season will be John Stones, Vincent Kompany, Otamendi, which is hard to say. I'm not his biggest fan. Young lad coming from the academy, Tosin Adarabioyo.
He's actually going to play.
He's said that he wants to look at another centre back. He's interested in buying another centre back, so it's not out of the question. But I just think Mangala's gone.
So the question I have about City, is last season we talked about Pep when Pep first came in. We said get rid of everything, start it again. That's what we said beginning season. That did not happen.
No,
basically kept the same team. Disappointing season overall. Now he's doing what he needed to do then. How do you feel that's going to transition this season with all the new changes?
I think it'll be fine because there's only really, you know, it's wholesale changes at fullback, which desperately needed to happen. We've already seen the improvements of them in pre-season. And then after that, I mean, Silva's a great one for the future. Bernardo Silva is a fantastic player. And otherwise, all the other personnel are exactly the same. So I think
this has put a lot of pressure on Pep. I mean, the amount of money that's been spent. I think City just beat the highest spending in a summer window after, I think, Madrid's 09 or something like that. So, yes, will people give Pep... I mean, we already were very harsh on him last season, whether he deserves it or not. This season will even be worse if he does a season just similar like last. If he comes third, let's say, and after all this money spent, will people say, well, he's still building a team and this is, you know, the first... year signings, do the, you know, the Mourinho second season syndrome, whatever. Will he be given that time? No, I think people like to attack successful people, and Pep will be attacked if he doesn't win the league.
That's sure. The question is, does it matter?
No.
Pep is smart enough. He said it himself after the season that he had last season. He actually used the words, a big club would have fired me, which is a little bit of a, you know, you need to understand the words you're using in English, Pep, but that is the truth of the matter. He wasn't brought in to finish third. He was brought in to advance them as a football club.
Champions League is a whole different story. Yeah.
And he didn't do that. So this is important for him.
But I also think that when you kind of consider the job he's done, you also have to think about the fact that they brought in Begiristain and Soriano to get Pep in the first place, but also to presumably build a squad that would be capable of playing his football, and they didn't do it.
A squad that has some Pep.
Sure. And so he's had to do it now. And, that's kind of a year later than it should have been,
yeah.
I think.
That's why a lot of City fans, jump on Begiristain, because I think Pep had a lot of say in the De Bruyne signing a year earlier. I think he did have...
Sterling as well.
Yeah, I think it was happening for a long, long time. It's been like the worst kept secret in football. He was coming over, but they didn't sort out the fullback situation. So he went there, he thought, maybe I can work with these players. He's done it in the past, and... they just couldn't do it, and they're so important to his system as well.
On previous podcasts, I mean, even last year, we were mentioning how insane it is that Pep is playing a season with those four fullbacks. I mean,
right. They're
pretty much... He started so many games with Arsenal fullbacks from, like, 2009, like, Cliche and Sanya. It's like, how is this happening in a team, in a club that has all the resources that they need to buy whoever they want, have Pep as a manager who, like you said, relies so much on those positions. It was crazy that he started games with Sané and
Cliche. That's what confuses me is, you know how Pep is. You know what he likes to play. He came into the squad. This is a guy who comes into teams and throws away people very, very quickly. So for him to have looked at Sanya, Kolarov, Cliche and been like, all right, let me try this, that is shocking to me. Because if Pep wants somebody... Man City are going to go after that. And it didn't even seem like they were linked with anyone of fullbacks last summer. So that's...
To be fair, there's also no more fullbacks in football. Like, we talked about this a lot. Like, there's no more players in football. Like, there's like...
Right back is especially thin right now.
You try and think of, like, well, who can someone buy now at left back? You're like, I don't know.
Left backs are done.
Like,
and remember, this time last season, Benjamin Mendy didn't even exist.
So, like, exactly.
Yeah. Final question about Manchester City. Why does it look like Samir Nasri is... playing and actually looked quite good, and
he's a very good player.
Might be involved.
Yeah, he is. Like, that's the most frustrating thing about him, because he's an exceptional player. When he turns it on, he's incredible. His vision's amazing. His composure's amazing. But then he just goes down to drip doctors. So his eye's not on the game.
Pep just said that he's leaving the club.
Yeah?
He said that he's very, very likely to leave.
I think that's a very good signing for a lot of teams. Nasri is, if they can kind of get his head, he's a really good player.
He's
going
to go to Arsenal, isn't he?
Listen, had he gone to United instead of City back when it was 50-50,
oh, he messed that up himself.
He would have been phenomenal.
That would have
been
amazing.
United, I think.
That would have been amazing.
But when he can be bothered, he's amazing. First half of the season against Sevilla. For Sevilla, incredible.
Yes,
then
correct.
He just kind of, you know, and then when all the drip doctor stuff happened, and he kind of went off the boil a little bit. So
correct.
It's just when he can be bothered.
So, we spoke about United. Let's talk about them. United. It's been weird trying to predict what United's going to do. You know, United have always been at the top. Recently, it's been a bit of a shambles, saved by the Europa League. Let's just call it a bit. Saved by the Europa League win, because if that didn't happen, this would be a whole different story. Mourinho and his failure / success, whatever. He got saved, you know, there.
So, I disagree, yet I agree at the same time. And I disagree because, and this is where I get angry at Jose Mourinho.
Schrodinger's Bernie.
He literally gave up the league to win Europa League.
He
beat Chelsea.
Yeah.
After beating Chelsea, he said, I'm done.
Yeah.
And he said, I'm focusing on the Europa League. And tanked against Arsenal, Tottenham, played the reserve teams on purpose. So they were in the top four hunt at that point. And he said, forget it. And that's what pisses me off about Jose Mourinho. He's literally said, I could do this, but I can do that easier. So I'm going to put all my eggs in that basket.
Yeah, but Jose Mourinho is apparently a world-class manager who's one of the best that's ever done it. But he should be able to do both.
See, that's what I'm saying. This is my problem with the statement of the Europa League saved your season.
Yeah.
It's true in a sense. But the fact is, that's what he decided he wanted to do. So when you look at Jose Mourinho and say, what did he intend on doing? That's what he intended to do, and that actually angers the hell out of me.
I would also say, in terms of it saved the season, and in terms of preparation for next season, United are in the Champions League. They're not going to win the Champions League. They won't get close to winning the Champions League. And the signings they've made, Lukaku, Matic, Lindelof, they could have made anyway.
Yeah,
are not signings that depend on being on top four. So how much difference it actually makes, I'm not sure.
Again, it's Jose Mourinho. It's personal glory, unfortunately, a lot of the time. Sometimes it's not about the club always or about the long-term plan. It's about, well, I made top four, which was the goal at the beginning of last season for United, and Jose Mourinho's make top four. So he thought, I'm going to do whatever it takes to say that I've done my goal, probably got a nice bonus for it, and that's it. Like, you're right, Alex. I didn't think about it that way, but none of these names required Champions League. You didn't go and sign a Griezmann, which, you know, was in the plans and blah, blah, blah. I don't know. Do these signings really, you know, Zlatan is not there anymore, which is a big influence. Mm-hmm. Do these signings really make you any better? Lukaku a little bit, but...
My thing about last season is like, yeah, two trophies in 15 years' time, that's all people will look at.
Yep.
But right now, while it's in our memories, there's a big bust at the end. And like, you know, I'm asking you this, and then maybe what you feel about other United fans as well. Like, will he put up with that football? Because United have a tradition of playing great attacking football, but the stuff he's laying out there is absolute dross at times. And like, Nemanja Matic does not encourage me that they're going to be playing anything more exciting.
So I agree. And the thing with that statement is context. The first half of that season, very similar to what he did with Chelsea when he won the league, Manchester United actually created the second most chances in the league.
Here we go. We're about to get Pogba hitting the crossbar.
I'm not talking about Pogba right now. The truth is, end of the season, United were only behind Liverpool and Tottenham in terms of chance creation. So that first half of the season, they played really, really well. They drew so many games that they actually should have won. And they would have probably been top four if they did that. So the style wasn't bad. It was once it got really, really rough and they said, well, we can't even score playing well anyway. So he can put on a show if he wants to. But the important thing with Mourinho is by bringing in Matic, by bringing Lukaku, it actually allows the rest of the team to play football for once. Because Zlatan did not allow anyone else around him to play football despite scoring that many goals, which means you're only going to get goals from one source. In this way, we're going to get a lot more goals from other players.
Yeah, he became more pragmatic when he had to get those results out. And yeah, it wasn't a great watch, but at the end of the day, he lifted trophies and United had out of English teams, the second most successful season.
I think a Europa League trophy is fantastic.
Yeah, incredible.
You know, there's nothing wrong with that whatsoever. It's just that it covers the fact that whatever way you look at it, Jose Mourinho finished sixth in the league with Manchester United.
Mm-hmm.
That's the bottom line.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just not good enough And if without the Europa League talk and the fact that they're in the Champions League, I just think it would have been a very different story. Links, Alex, you wanted to talk about players they might be linked with?
Well, there's the Perisic thing, which Burnley hates. Although I'm not sure why. Like, he's a good player.
It's a bit inconsistent.
Though. Yeah, I think he's a squad player.
It would
player,
be a rubbish signing at the amount of money, especially considering you have, and I'll say it again, one of the best young players in the world in Martial, and you're wasting it.
I completely agree with that.
Absolute disgrace.
I also think you don't really have many options for the left-hand side, and Perisic.
The only option you need is Anthony Martial. If you're a manager worth anything, you'll figure that out.
Sure.
Because someone else will.
So what do you do with Rashford then? Because he seems to like, you know, putting him out wide every now and then and stuff.
He will, if Mourinho had brains, he'd play a 4-3-3 with Martial one side, Rashford the other side, Lukaku. That is speed. That is power.
Mkhitaryan out of the team.
I'm okay with that.
I don't think Mkhitaryan is starting.
I'm okay with that. I love Mkhitaryan. But again, Champions League, you need flexibility. I think they can get enough minutes between them.
Okay. Yeah. Anything else on United there?
They're building a team that looks like the New York skyline.
Yeah, 6-3, 6-4, 6-2.
Lob balls into the box all season.
Huge. But we didn't even score that many.
One minute on Fellaini. So Galatasaray trying to sign him. Mourinho said
it's easier to sign Mourinho to manage Galatasaray than sign Fellaini to be
a
defensive
midfielder. Like Jesus with the camel and the eye of the needle and stuff.
Sure.
Oh, I was like, where is he going with Gabriel Jesus and the camel? Yeah. I don't understand.
Before we move on, Pogba... I mean, 89 million record signing.
We're a year past
that.
I'm just saying.
Is he gonna step up next season? Is he gonna be that guy? Because I mean, he should. I think. I mean, it's the least you can expect, just a little bit.
Think of it this way.
Yeah.
His first season was good. Not brilliant. 89 million world record transfer, but it was good. If that's supposed to be a stepping stone, then there are not many players who've come into a team the first season that had a good season the way he did.
Yeah, so the question is, do you think... I mean, I'm not looking for a negative answer.
I'm saying...
Do you think he'll you know, the team will revolve around him next season? Because that's, I think, the idea. That's the
implication of the Matic sign.
And Lukaku. Lukaku's there to allow Pogba to
play
create and play and, you know, build that partnership. So yeah, it's supposed to be built around him.
Okay.
He has to be good.
I think if he steps up, United have a really good chance of that top four. Like, I think it's a lot dependent on whether Pogba steps up, because you've got Matic and Herrera. They're fine. They're solid. They just do their thing. But if Pogba in front of them doesn't really shine, then it might be a bit of an issue.
I think we could see some really exciting counterattacks for next season, because Lukaku is a facing goal kind of striker, where obviously Zlatan's a back to goal striker. So I think, if Lukaku can be bothered to track back a little bit, you know, he'll be him and Pogba will be steaming forward, and I think that's.
Can you imagine through balls being played at Old Trafford for one? Like, actually,
yeah.
I don't remember last time I saw one, so I'm hoping for that.
Bernie's excited for through balls, guys. This is where United are at right now. We might play through balls. All right. Last but definitely least.
Imagine you're playing with United on FIFA and like triangle just doesn't work.
Yeah.
Like, you can't. It's not an option.
It's like, sorry, what are you doing? Triangle just has like nothing next to it.
Yeah.
Doesn't do anything. Maybe a dab. So I'll repeat the joke. Last but definitely least. Spurs.
Hmm.
Sign nobody.
Hmm. Hold on.
What?
Didn't they finish above you?
It doesn't matter.
Is St. Tottering... What's that thing
St. Tottering's Day.
Right, it's been cancelled, right?
It's been cancelled.
For Spurs days.
Yeah.
Because you now play on Thursdays.
Yeah.
Just checking. Anyway, Tottenham? Yeah?
The guy that came sick.
And won 2 trophies.
Yes. 3, if you count the community.
3? Thank you.
Yeah.
So generous.
So Walker walked out. And they signed nobody in. I think they're going to start feeling the whole stadium thing the way... other teams have felt it recently.
Oh, for sure.
The financial restraints, the atmosphere, that might be an issue next season for them playing at Wembley.
I think the atmosphere will be fine. I mean, we saw them last season with their Champions League games. They filled the stadium, no problem. The atmosphere was incredible. The performances just lacked a lot. And it'll be fascinating to see if they can conquer that, because it is very clearly a massive psychological hurdle for Tottenham.
Yeah. I think, you know, the stadium thing is going to be an issue, but there's... Despite my ridiculous statement about the transfers and Pochettino, I trust the guy. I feel like they're going to be okay.
How often have teams in the Premier League, or, okay, forget La Liga, in the Premier League, how often have teams not made a single signing and kept that level of performance and are going to produce the same
Manchester
way
United
they've done it? That's different.
Manchester
United dominated, just like they could have played the under 21, which they did in 99 and still won the league. Anyways, point is, I just don't see them do their squad depth. Isn't that high? I mean, yeah, you can put names on paper, but you know, is it gonna get you that second spot again? That winning league? I just don't think so.
When you have, and this is maybe even something that managers don't do, like you said with Conte, right? You had a good season, but I'm gonna replace with someone else and be ambitious. But isn't there a thing to be said about if it's not broken, don't fix it? Because you're not getting better than Dele Alli for them. You're not getting better than Harry Kane. You may probably will not get better than Alderweireld, who is the best centre back in the league. And then Vertonghen,
Lloris is very good.
It doesn't get better than most of what they have right now. So what's the point?
We're in the starting 11, but they have to fix some mistakes from last season because Vincent Janssen was terrible. And like,
yes.
Like, is Sissoko even there? Like, it was, it's like, you know, like an office worker who spends half the shift on a toilet playing Angry Birds. Like, it's just like, they're just not there. No, it's one like knows there. Just rubbish.
They didn't
like,
even take him on the tour. They made up some excuse to not take him on their preseason tour. It was something about like he's sick or something about like a ridiculous reason. But point is, imagine this. Kane gets injured.
They're in trouble.
Okay.
That always happens.
Now what? Like,
but we don't need to imagine it. It happened twice last season. I mean, Kane missed probably, I think, a total of about 2.5-3 months of football. And they finished second and he got 25 goals. That's not to say they're in an ideal situation. They obviously need better backup.
Arsene Wenger might think it's ideal.
Yeah. But, you know, if you look at the second string, with Lamella out, you've got like Onuma and Kudu, Janssen, Wimmer, Carter Vickers. It could be worse, but it could be a hell of a lot better. But to your point, Bernie, they are in a difficult situation because financially they can't afford to buy players better than the ones they have.
Mm-hmm.
But they also, there also aren't many players that they can buy that does improve that team.
Yeah.
So what they need to do is find the probably five players in the world who are as good as the players in the first team, but willing to play a backup role.
Okay.
And that
well,
is extremely difficult.
What happens next season when the likes of Kane, Eriksen, Lloris, Vertonghen, etc., etc., are tired of coming third and second, blah, 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 and people start poaching them? Yeah, you can all say, I'm not going to sell, but that will happen when you kind of see that there's no ambition there. Yeah, sorry, we can't spend a lot of money because of the stadium, but like, it's just, it keeps players interested and engaged as well when you get new signings. A lot of players are always like, I'm going to stay if we strengthen, which is weird because you're like, well, what if he takes your spot? But the idea is like, that needs to be there. It can become stale, and then you can start poaching players from Spurs.
I agree, but that would have happened already. Because Lloris was linked with many moves at least 3-4 seasons ago, didn't leave.
You can be convinced with a project just long enough until you start to maybe give up on it.
I just think it really would have happened because there were chances for a lot of those guys to leave. And Kane is not going anywhere. Dele Alli is probably not going anywhere. And that's also probably the logic of bringing in English players because they're not going to go to Barcelona, Real Madrid.
Just too scared.
It's not happening. So I think they figured out something that works. It's, you know, the backups that they need to figure out.
How are they going to do in the Champions League next season? Because that's always been their thing. They're like, I can't wait to get in the Champions League and then horrendous performances.
I don't think they care.
They won't do well in the Champions League.
They won't, yeah.
No, I can't see it.
Top four, though?
Yes, I think so. I think they will be weaker than last year, but I think they're still getting a Champions League.
Okay. I think they're going to just drop out of the top four this season. Them and Liverpool.
All right.
Yeah. I think that's pretty much it. We're just left with the Momo of the Week.
Let's do it.
Happy Momo. One thing we are no sha, Momo no fit sleep forever. One day, Momo go wake up.
All right, so Momo of the Week. Again, haven't done this in a while. Excited.
Yeah.
Just to remind everybody, Momo is a word introduced to us by Bernie, which means fool or idiot in Pidgin English, which is the dialect or / language in Nigeria.
Bernie, who's gone.
Bernie has gone.
Yeah.
Yes, he left. Okay, so let's start with Alex. What do you have for us this week?
Bob Bradley. And I could just go back to his time at Swansea because that was also Momo. But he is the new manager of Los Angeles FC. And they don't, they're kind of nascent. They exist, but they don't exist yet. And so they got on the reveal video train.
Not as good as Roma's.
No, yeah. Nowhere near as good as Roma's. But they felt they needed to participate in the reveal video trend. So first, you know, the camera has a close-up and it's a man in a tracksuit with a baseball hat on.
Mm-hmm.
And it looks like it might be a hip-hop artist or a dancer or something.
Right.
And then he lifts his head to reveal his pale, narrow, Voldemort-looking face.
Yeah.
And it's just the scariest thing. The scariest and simultaneously lamest thing I've ever seen.
I mean, it's hard to resist when your manager is so good looking. It is hard to resist that kind of reveal.
To use his face.
Yeah, it's just an opportunity you could not miss.
So. It's just, he wouldn't wear these clothes in a million years in his personal life. I mean, he's a fan of the roll-up, the kind of roll-neck sweater, we know that.
To be fair, the hat was really nice. Like an LA fan would buy the hat. The hat looked cool. It's just lovely under hat. The
but
hat.
Not modeled on a corpse.
Like, true.
It's like, it's just, you know, when it was like really, really embarrassing dads who like try and hang out with some kids. It just looked like that. He was just dressed really young. He had he was like he's trying to look smouldering and angry and also smug at the same time. Well, he just looked confused. It was very, very awkward.
It was awkward.
Dan, I think you have one for us.
Yeah, Darren Gibson, who was...
Is he still alive? He still exists.
Very much.
Yeah? Okay.
Yeah. Very much. Well, he was certainly alive after probably a few Jägermeisters in a pub. And one fan went up to him and said, are you happy with Sunderland being fucking shit right now? And he said, yeah, we're fucking shit. Yeah. And he said, there's too many people at the club who don't give a fuck.
Yeah.
He talks about Rabih Khazri. He talks about Lamine Kone. I don't think we'd be too surprised in hearing that.
No.
No, he's right, isn't he? Sunderland just didn't look like they gave a shite last year.
No, they are rubbish, and it's totally fair to assume that half those players don't care.
I mean, to be fair, David Moyes did come out like a week into the season and said, we're pretty much going to get relegated. Yeah. We do really well if we don't get relegated. Yeah. So here we go, everybody ready? And, you know, that's pretty much what happened. And then I think mid-season they took him on a trip to New York or Dubai or whatever
it was. New York.
Yeah,
because
that's
they
very strange.
Clearly
yeah.
deserved a break. And then he took him to that car factory to show them what real life people are
that
like.
That actually worked for like 2 weeks.
They did work for 2 weeks, actually. But yeah, it was such a weird Sunderland season.
And that New York trip stunk because they spent all that money on a trip and then they went back and just sacked loads of staff from behind the scenes at the club as well.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because they couldn't do it because the finances weren't good.
Well,
incredible.
I mean,
trip to New York.
New York is New York. Like, it's worth a few people losing their job, you know?
And then because Sunderland... run like Sunderland. They released a statement saying he's going to be some disciplinary action against Darren Gibson, and in that they spelt his name wrong.
Yes, and they also said they would initiate the disciplinary process, which sounds a bit Dr. Evil.
Yes, but the name thing, like, I don't think is terrible because I can see Alex's notes from here and I can see he spelt Darren Gibson's name wrong as well.
Easy to do.
Yeah, clearly no one cares.
Yeah.
Nice, nice.
One thing we are no sha, Mumu no fit sleep forever. One day, Mumu go wake up.
All right, and that will do it for another Koshcast. Dan, thank you so much for joining us.
No, thank you. I enjoyed myself.
Yeah, we'll have you back. And Mohamed, thank you for everything that you do.
Ever present.
Yeah.
Yeah, I press record and stop, so it's quite important.
It's an important job.
Yeah.
And not everyone actually does it right. So
imagine I just cut it right here.
Yeah, exactly. But it would be sad if you did that, because a little announcement. August 16th at Betty's on King Street in Toronto is our next trivia night. Dan and his team are already registered. So actually, you won it last time you were
a couple
were
of times ago. Yeah. We had a couple of ringers, and it was nothing to do with me.
I feel with this announcement being an hour and 15 minutes into the pod, I feel like if someone tweeted us maybe a secret word, I don't know, pomegranate, I think they deserve like $20.
What will that get auto-corrected to, though?
Just yeah, true. The fact that you're still here listening.
Yes. That's true. If you tweet us something about that now. You get in.
You get something.
We'll work it out.
Alex will buy you a pint.
Yes. There you go. Thanks, Dan.
See you all next week.
Bye.
Thank you for downloading the Koshcast. Get in touch at underthekoshblog@gmail.com. Follow us on Twitter at under_thekosh. And for articles, predictions, and the full experience, go to underthekoshblog.com.